Got one out here already in Hartford.
Amen. I think today's the 19th. Anybody got a clue?
Day's the
20th. Day's the 20th. Amen.
I'm not going to say nothing, brother.
Yeah. I'm telling her, daylight savings time. And just really my feeble mind, I tell them I didn't know much, but praise God, what little I know to be true.
Y'all move that up? They did. So there'd be more room out there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, they did. They moved one roll.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
On this March the 20th, first day of spring, Lord's Day Sunday morning, beautiful day outside. Praise God, it is so wonderful to know the Lord, to fellowship with Him in thought and in song and in praise. I've been praising the Lord all morning long. I've caught myself. Praise the Lord. Nobody around, nothing, just raising my hand, praising the Lord. And you know, I can't help it. He's been so good to me, blessed me. Unbelievably blessed me. Praise the Lord for His mercies, for His grace, for His Word. We're going to be teaching this morning Romans chapter 11. We finished up Romans chapter 10 last week. We'll go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank You,
yes,
Lord, for every breath. For every day. For every thought. Oh, Lord. The psalmist said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Lord, You said, I know my thoughts concerning You, that they're good, not evil, to give You an expected end. Lord, You're so gracious. Woo! You're so good. You're so greatly to be praised. Bless our efforts this morning, Lord. We confess nothing other than You. We don't have any ability, Lord, other than availability, but we yield ourselves right now into Your hands. Lord, ask You, Lord, to use us. Ask You, Lord, to help us. Open Your words to us this morning. Make Your words known to us, Lord. Open the treasure house of the Word of God, we pray, Father. And, Lord, we pray for those, Lord, that maybe not having a good day today. My wife, she didn't even eat anything this morning, just didn't feel good. We pray for her. Lord, we pray for Sister Joanne. We pray, Lord, Father, for Jimmy and Carol's daughter. I think it's since she had a stroke. We pray, Lord, Father, for Phyllis's family that was in a car wreck and was having a hemorrhaging on the brain. Just so many, Lord, that are hurting today. We pray for those over in Ukraine. Lord, that God, you might help them, Lord. I don't understand that situation. I just know Your word says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And there'll be troublesome times. There'll be earthquakes and just famines and all kind of things. Lord, we understand the hours and the days we're living in, Lord. Help Your children, Lord. Bless Your church. And Lord, bless, I pray, this lesson today. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 11 verse 1, Paul here writing to the church at Rome. He said, I say then, hath God cast away His people? He said, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Let me get my glasses cleared off here. A tear on there. I really do fear for those people in Ukraine. They're just little children.
Yeah.
Innocent people being murdered, genocide. It's tough to see that, knowing it's going on and knowing I can't even do anything about it. And those that can do something about it won't. Never seen so corrupt politics in my life. You just think that they would denounce and do right. I don't know. I pray for our leaders. I do. I pray God will somehow get them turned around. I wish they would proclaim a Nineveh repentance. They won't, but I wish they would. But Paul here, he says, hath God cast away His people? He starts out, I say then, and there's a capital letter on that H, hath God cast away His people? He said, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now he started out Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God is for Israel. is that they might be saved. And he says, I'm an Israelite. And in verse 1, and what he's doing is he's still appealing to the Jewish people. He's still appealing. And he's identifying with them for the fact that he said, I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. All these things he's saying Israel can identify with. Verse 2, he says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. He says, what ye not or know ye not, what the Scripture saith, and that's what's important.
Yes.
I'm telling it. I don't care what CNN News says. I don't care what Fox
that's
News,
right.
Newsmax,
yeah.
Or any other. He says here, what the Scripture saith of Elias, talking about Elijah.
Yeah.
I mean Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now Elijah, he's the one that withstood 850 prophets on Mount Carmel, all by himself, 450 prophets of Baal, I believe, and 400 prophets of the grove. But after that, you know, we won't have a revival here at the church, and I'm 100% on board, but this would be like a revival. I mean, he withstood 850 false prophets, one man did. But one man had God with him, had God on him. He wasn't afraid. He said, y'all go ahead and go first, boys. Y'all go ahead and show how it's done.
Right.
And after they had failed miserably trying to get Baal to answer, I don't know if God had told them to shut up, because I believe that they did have a relationship with Baal. I wasn't there. I'm speculating here. But they couldn't get no answers. They started cutting themselves. And they caught crying. And he's up there. Maybe he's asleep. Cry a little louder. But anyway, this is referring to that. And after that, Elijah prayed, because there had been no rain for 3.5 years. He prayed and the rain came. So he got victory over his enemies, giving glory to God. Got the rain. Outrun Ahab to the palace.
Right.
God girded his loins up and outrun a horse.
Chapter 11 of them.
We're in chapter 11 of Romans. After all of that, Jezebel sent him a letter. She didn't come to him.
Yeah.
She sent him a letter. And he got that letter, and I guess he thought he was going to say, good job. But that letter said, God said, God do so unto me also, if thy head be on thee about this time tomorrow. She threatened him. Now one woman threatened a prophet that had just withstood 850 false prophets. I believe it's 2 Kings or 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll find out here real quick here. It's 1 Kings. 1 Kings 18.
Gotcha.
Right.
And He's up here, and you know, they're eating, drinking, they're all in a good way. He's brought the rain. He's run back in 19 when Ahab, King Ahab, told his wife, Queen Jezebel, all that Elijah had done and how he'd slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me also and more, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he saw that, he arose and went for his life. And I'm skipping all of that, but he had withstood 850 false prophets. Let me get that right too here. There was 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Jezebel, which ate at her table. That's in 1 Kings 18 verse 19. Let me just leave something over there. I may want to refer back to that again here in a minute. But he said, I am left alone. In verse 3 here, kind of lost sight of the one that stood with him to slay the 850, and now he's running from a woman. What I'm saying is he got a great revival, and he was celebrating, and right in the middle of that celebration got threatened, and it got the best of him. I say this about this. When you least expect it is when it's the most effective. Yeah. The last thing he was expecting was to be threatened. He brought victory. He brought glory. He brought rain. I mean, even the people said, the Lord God, He's God and Him alone. He done everything right. And then right in the middle of that, he got sidetracked there, or got lost sight of God in that. And he said, I am left alone and they seek my life. It says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? You know, sometimes you think, we're done. Nothing else. You know, we just my wolves raise the white flag. Nothing else we can do. He's losing sight of God here in verse 3. But the answer comes to him from God. And it says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Mm-hmm. Now, I get a little discouraged, and you may too. I mean, I'm seeing this critical race theory being taught by children. I'm seeing, you know, this gender neutral LGBT nonsense being taught in our schools. I'm seeing churches going belly up. I'm seeing people leaving a ministry.
Yes.
I'm seeing all that. And every now and then I have me an Elijah pity party and think, you know, that I'm not doing nothing. And think, you know, I ought to just quit myself. But the answer that comes to this discouraged, crying, great prophet of God, Elijah, God said, I got 7,000 men reserved unto me that haven't bowed the knee. Every now and then you get a little encouragement. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is don't get down and out. Just remember, God's still on the throne.
Amen.
Don't lose sight of God. Remember this, we've already got the victory.
Yes,
I mean, we're more than conquerors already. So Paul here, as he's bringing, and he's a great... Paul is a great orator. As he's bringing his point across here, he says in verse 5, even so then at this present time. Now he went way back yonder, now he's talking right now. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more works. Now he's getting like the preacher now. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, that's kind of complicated, but what he's saying is it's one or the other.
Yeah.
You're either going to heaven by the grace of God, or you're going to try to go to heaven like Cain by your good works. So if you're going to go by your good works, it's no more grace. But if you're going to go by grace, enjoy the journey. You're going all the way.
Amen.
So that's that fine line that he's trying to define here. And he goes in verse 7, what then Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for? There's people out there wanting something, but they can't find it. I just had someone send me a letter. I was telling Donnie yesterday, from a Jehovah's Witness, and that I really kind of wish they hadn't have done it. But since they did send me a letter, they did put their address on it, I'm definitely going to send them a letter back. I mean, I didn't shoot the first arrow, but I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah.
Okay.
I am going to send a letter back.
I know who it is.
And my letter will be a little bit more defined than theirs was. And you know, theirs is kind of, you know, just kind of ear-tickling, smooth. Mine's going to be a little bit more to the point. But they're seeking for something, but they can never find it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if I lost my pocket knife right over here, and I went back there looking for it, what's the chance of me finding it back yonder? You see what I mean? You got to go where it's at to find it. And God here, or Paul here says, What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, because he's not looking for it in the right place. He wants it. I mean, everything Israel's doing's right. He says, but he can't find it because he's looking for it in the wrong place. He says, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And Israel, they can't see it. Good illustration, that's that man that was born blind. I think it's in John chapter 8 or John chapter 9. And they couldn't understand how he could see. And he couldn't either, really. He said, all I know is I was blind and now I see.
That's right.
And you know, that's kind of what salvation is.
That's it.
It's an eye-opening event, but it takes you a little while to get it figured out.
He asked his parents about it.
Yeah.
His mom and dad.
They dodged it too. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Yeah, they did.
But in John chapter 9, they confronted this boy after his parents said he's of age. Ask him in verse 23.
Yeah.
Then again they called the man that was blind, verse 24, and said unto him, give God the praise. He died. He's giving God the praise. They said, we know this man is a sinner. And that's condemnation that don't fit. And even this blind man answers in verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Now, a blind man is speaking pretty good right there. He said, one thing I do know, though, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, it's kind of hard to argue with a man that was blind, now he can see. But they're still doing it. Then said they unto him again, what did he? How opened he thine eyes? He answered and said, I told you already, and you did not hear. Where will you hear him again?
Right.
Will you be also his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. What I'm saying about there is they just couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
They're blinded to it. And that's what verse 7 is saying. Verse 8, according as it's written, God has given unto them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should see, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. See, he came to his own, John says in John chapter 1, but his own received him not, and God turned from his chosen people to us, the Gentiles, and even though we wasn't included, we got included. He'll allude to that here in a minute. But Israel's blinded concerning Jesus. They just can't receive it. And old Brother Bob Malkin, old shouting Brother Bob Malkin up in Columbus, Ohio, that listens to us all the time, he says, hold on here just a minute. He called me all the time. I love him. I mean, I love Brother Bob. He said, hold on a minute, let me shout a minute. He'll shout, and he'd come back and say, where were we at? And he said, I got to shout a little more. See, he's an Orthodox Jew.
Yeah.
He got saved by a woman on a bus. His father and his mother disowned him. They actually had a funeral concerning him. They said, you're no longer our son. That's what it's talking about. Israel's blinded concerning salvation. They can't see it. They can't hear it. Verse 9, David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. You know, they just reject everything to do with the salvation of God. He said, verse 10, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. David's pronouncing a curse upon his own people.
Yes.
He said, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was kind of jealous. I wasn't born a Jew, Sharon. But praise God, I got born again. Now I'm a spiritual Jew.
That's right.
I'm a seed of Abraham through Christ. I mean, I got it all. I'm complete in Him, amen. But he's pronouncing a curse upon his own people.
Yeah.
And he said, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. I'm going to tell you something. The Jews, Rita, come here, girl. Man, I don't get many blessings like this. Give me a hug. Hallelujah. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Well, through their fall, I got saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what, I knew it was going to be good today, and I'm saying that with charity. But the reason I thought it'd be good today is because all the cards I mailed out.
There you go.
And did I mail you one, Rita?
I've got so many addresses, probably, but
yeah,
we need to get it.
I mailed a bunch of cards out just telling everybody I appreciate them. And anyway, I think I mailed you one, but I'm trying to say I thought it'd be good today because all the cards I mailed out, they didn't come in before last Sunday, even though I mailed them on Wednesday. But anyway, I think they all made it this week. Donnie said he got his. But through the fall of the Jews, salvation come to us, the Gentiles, and it come to us to provoke them to jealousy. Now, here's what that means. Just take, for instance, I've got a toy here, and Donnie wants it. And I say, well, you ain't getting it, buddy. And all of a sudden, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I watch my dog do this all the time. I'm a Gentile dog. So I say, here, Donnie, you can have it. And after he gets it, I want it back.
Yeah.
He said, no, you gave it to me. Well, that's kind of what God is doing to the Jews through us, the Gentiles. He's showing them what they could have had. Mm-hmm. He's showing them what they missed out on. And I watch these crazy dogs. There'll be a ball in the floor, and neither one of them want it. But if one does get it, it's on. I mean, the other wants it, and that's kind of what God did with the Jews. And it's to provoke them to jealousy. God has blessed the Gentiles and left off blessing the Jews. And they're interested, but they can't seem to get a hold of them. Old Brother Bob got saved.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, buddy, he's so glad to be saved. But it's really rare for an Orthodox Jew to get saved. Verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminish of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And he says, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, Paul is writing to Gentiles, and he is a Jew. And he said, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. And we got all of the writings of Paul, but he had a burden for his own people, and God had made him the apostle of the Gentiles. Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them that are my flesh. He thought, well, you know, if I do a good job at this, Israel might, they might catch on. They might get interested. And he says, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them that are which are my flesh, and might save some of them. He wanted, just like he started at verse 10, he wanted them to get saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty blunt, pretty bold, and it's kind of hard to miss the message. And he says here, with these Gentiles, being apostles of Gentiles, he said, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, which is Jews, and might save some of them. Verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? In other words, he said, they ain't got no hope except they get on board. And if they get on board, well, then they'll be like resurrected. He said, verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. I'm watching stuff out here green up out here. And it kind of helps me out a little bit to see a little green.
Right.
And, winter reminds me a lot of the resurrection. Everything dies except the evergreens, and I'm an evergreen, and you are too, if you're saved. And we stay green all the time, but it's refreshing to watch everything come back to life. I mean, we got daffodils there around the house, and they're... They survived that 6-inch snow. Somehow Donnie said he's doing even better.
Yeah.
And the Bible mentioned in the book of Job about the treasures of the snow. And snow has nitrogen in it, which is kind of like fertilizer, but yeah. Snow really helps things grow. It really does.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, good snows are going to be a good year, amen. And it says, if the root be holy, so are the branches. You know, it done me pretty good when Jesus got up out of that grave. I'm not that far from the grave. I turned 68 this year, but it feel like the second time around.
Oh, come on.
Some people look at me and say, I look young. Some people look at me and say, boy, you're an old man. I'll take either one. I'm still above the ground. But Jesus got up from that grave. And I'll tell you right now, that'd do anybody some good. And Paul here said, but life from the dead. And he said, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Hey, he got up. And I'm just a branch. But praise God, the root got up. And praise God, I'm one of the branches. And because he got up, amen, I'm going to get up.
Amen.
Joanne says, going to get up
out of
that. Yeah.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, what described me to the T?
Yeah.
I was a wild as a donkey, a wild ass, until God broke me and saved me. But by saving me, he said, thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. I'm just telling you, buddy, I was dead in trespasses and sins, but now I've got eternal life. And I've got the promise of a home in heaven. And all of that is because of them getting broken off. And because of him turning from them to us. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. I'm glad I'm not my own. Been bought with a price. And the root does bear me, amen. Verse 19, thou wilt say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now here's where we'll slow down a little bit right here. You know, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm sad that Israel had to be rejected so I could be grafted in. But I don't need to despise them. You remember Ishmael and Hagar and Sarah, which was Abraham's wife. She made a mistake. We make mistakes all the time.
Right.
I was just thinking about mistakes that day. I thought, thank God for grace, because all I do is make mistakes. But Sarah made a mistake when she come to her husband and said, go into my maid or my servant, my Egyptian handmaid, Hagar. Go into her and I'll receive a child from her. That wasn't the plan of God. That was a mistake. But anyway, Abraham, he said, sounds good to me. And he went into Hagar and Ishmael was born and that wasn't the promised son. And then Sarah said, I'm despised in the eyes of my Egyptian handmaid, Hagar, and she wanted her thrown out.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, I don't need to despise the Jews because I'm saved. I need to be thankful because from the Jews I got a Bible. From the Jews I got a Savior.
Amen.
And what I'm trying to say is, be careful. My first message, God called me to preach, Bonnie, 30 years ago.
Amen.
And I didn't know nothing about preaching. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, how's this going to be? I mean, I didn't even know nothing. Nothing. And God called me to preach. I just remember saying, Lord, are you sure? And the first message I preached was on the dangers of despising, where Michael, David's wife, Saul's daughter, despised David out there dancing and praising God. That was the first message I ever preached. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have no idea how it was going to sound, but that's probably the best message I ever preached in my life. God held me through that whole thing like a little suckling child. And that next one, well, Reed, I thought, well, I don't need no help now. And the Lord showed me how much wind he puts in your sails. You don't go too far without God.
That's right.
If you don't put wind in yourselves, you're not gonna go far.
God,
but that first time, buddy, I mean, I want you to know my sails was full of wind from heaven. And I thought, there's nothing to this. That's a big mistake.
Yeah.
I did that. I'll be honest. But that next time, I fell on my face and I said, Lord, I'm ready to listen. And I found out real quick, I'm just a messenger boy. He resisted the proud, giveth grace to the humble. I humble myself. Yeah. I found out God was all I need. Amen.
Yeah,
well, anyway, we don't need to despise. I don't know how I got off chasing that rabbit. But it says here, boast not.
Yeah.
Boast not against those, you know, that went through the Jews. They were broken off because of unbelief and because, you know, they rejected their Messiah. And he says, verse 20, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. You know, it would be wrong for me to think badly about Jews. I see their mistake. They don't, but I do. And, you know, they probably see my mistakes. You know, I guess we all critique one another. They say, well, you know, if you know, I guess it was Haman that was born a leper. And he wanted to be healed, and a little old girl that they'd kidnapped made a servant out of. She said, would to God my master would go down to Jerusalem as a prophet down there. They would heal him of his leprosy, and buddy, that caught his ear. One thing about these ears, that, what'd you say? I heard you. They're back there whispering back there in the back there right now. But anyway, Haman went to the king of Jerusalem and said, I come to be healed. He said, I can't heal nobody. And anyway, the prophet, which was Elisha, sent a servant to Haman and said, go dip seven times in Jordan River.
Right.
Yeah.
And Haman just kind of despised that. He said, I thought he'd come out and lay his hand on me and call upon his God. I mean, he had already figured out. Yeah. I only said that for this reason. Sometimes we think we know it all.
Yeah.
No. I'm always ready to learn. I'm always willing to learn.
Right.
That's right.
And you need to be of that same mind.
Yeah,
we haven't even scratched the surface what we need to know.
We never get to learn.
But we don't need to despise. We don't need to look down.
Right.
On people. It's okay to look down, just don't look down on people.
Right. That's it.
Just say, praise God, by the grace of God, I got saved. I'm happy to be saved. And be content with such things as you have, all that stuff. But anyway, it said, take heed here. If the branches... Well, I think I stopped at verse 20. Be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee.
That's right.
What we need to do is learn from their mistake.
Right.
Don't get too big for God.
Right.
I done found out God can bring me down. I've kind of learned everything I learned really the hard way.
Right.
And I hadn't been saved very long at all, and I learned about the chaste and hand of God.
Yeah.
Even though I heard about it, I didn't really understand it, Sharon. Right. And here we go to church. And my son corrected me the other day. I was speaking to him a little bit about him being one to get me in church, get me saved. And even though I said he was 8 years old, and you know, this is kind of Nat Campbell thing. He said, Dad, I didn't turn 8 till his birthday's December the 9th. I mean, he wasn't 8 yet, is what he's trying to convey to me.
Yeah,
he was only
right.
7.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not trying to make an issue, he's already jumping 8. But anyway, he said, I was 7. I didn't turn 8 to December 9th. What I'm saying is, he was right. I didn't make an issue of that.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm trying to get him to think about getting back in church, and I'm trying to be wise serpent, harmless dove.
Yeah.
But God had used that little boy to get an old drunk like me in church. I got saved, and I hadn't been saved long at all. Done heard about the chase of the hand of God, just didn't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
And on the way home from church one night, well, we was at church in the evening service. My son was a yahoo, and I mean, he is full of energy, full of life. And we had a soup, soup supper after the service that Sunday night. And I'm sitting there eating my soup, and my yahoo son comes running, and he takes off a big jump, yahoo, and jumps and hits somebody's plate and spilt their soup and embarrassed me to the point I said, come on, we're leaving. And I got a little bit more grace about me now.
Yeah.
But I didn't have grace then.
Yeah, come on.
I was in the flesh.
Yes,
big time.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I lost it.
Yeah.
I didn't lose my salvation.
Yeah.
I just lost, I guess, my mind.
Right.
because I was looking at this and all the wrong. You know, the devil's really good to get you to do something you don't need to do.
Right.
I think I was being set up, honestly. But anyway, on the way home, I made the mistake, Bonnie, of looking over the seat to my son in the back, and these words came out of my mouth. Maybe one of these days God will give me a good little boy. Them words should have been
God.
Shut up.
Yeah, boy.
But when those words came out of my mouth, Carolyn, my heart smote me immediately.
Yeah.
I shut my mouth then.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what was going on. My wife sat over there. I said, I hope he, probably to herself, I hope he don't say no more.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did keep my mouth shut. We drove all the way home. I had to go to work at night. I worked at Donnelly's. I worked from 11 at night to 7 in the morning, third shift. And, buddy, I'm going to tell you, out there at work, I couldn't do my job sharing.
Yeah.
I couldn't do nothing, Rita. I'm messing, you know, my mind. I couldn't get my mind to work.
Come on.
Yeah, I was being chastened. God was steering me without me even knowing it.
Right.
Anyway, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I done had it up to here. And I went in there and I called home. And my wife answered the phone and I said, honey, I need to talk to my son. She said, Eddie, he's asleep. And I know my wife, by like all women, she's partial to money. And I said, well, either you put him on the phone or I'm coming home.
There you go.
And my wife being partial to money, she went broke. She went and woke my little boy up. He got on that phone and he said, hello?
Yeah.
And I said, son, I said, Daddy, sorry. I said, God's already given me a good son. I said, I just want you to forgive me. Okay, Daddy. He went to bed. I mean, he didn't even really, 2 seconds.
No.
Okay, Daddy, went to bed. I went back to work. But you know what, Brother Jerry, I learned something about the chastening hand of God. I try not to get in that predicament again. I have not as bad as that. That's the worst one ever, I guess. But that's what happens, you know. We open our mouth, God hears it,
right?
And He, like it says right here, take heed, lest He also spare not thee.
Right.
Now that's not talking about you getting losing salvation. You might leave out this world a little early. Mm-hmm. Bible says, you know, if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. But when we're judged, we're taken out. That we won't be condemned with the world, because there's no condemnation them in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Bonnie was talking about the thorns before Sunday school lesson this morning. She said her and William went down to Mammoth Cave Park and they seen this thorn tree. Had thorns on it, looked like about that long. And she said, can you imagine making a crown of them and putting them on the lovely head of Jesus and pushing them in? And you know what? The Lord, He went through all of that for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus. Here's why. He done paid the price.
Amen.
You see, I'm saved by grace, not of myself, not of works, lest any man should boast, not by works of righteousness I've done. According to His mercy, His grace, He saved me. What I'm trying to say is, I can't save myself. I can't keep myself saved. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. One way or another, buddy, you can go the easy way, you can go the rough way.
Right.
And I'll say this, if you go the rough way, you're going to get there quicker.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be preaching along those lines today. And I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talking about taking of the Lord's Supper. And it talks about we're to judge ourselves before we drink of that cup.
Right.
And before we partake of that broken body of Christ. And it said, if we judge ourselves, we'd not be. Let me read that there. Probably better to read that. I'll explain why I'm reading this. It said, for as often as you, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now here's the repercussion of that. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak. Man, I'm 68 years old. Still got it. And sickly among you. Man, I stand amazed at the grace and mercy of God. And many sleep. They done graduated. Donnie sent me a text message this week after I confronted him a little bit about fussing. He said, I'm done fussing. I said, I done forwarded that to heaven, Donnie. we do fuss down here. And we complain down here. We make this a do and that a do. He does me the same way. We help one another. And I've told him, he's helped me tremendously. He said, Brother Eddie, it'd be all right. I said, I know it will, but I still need to complain a little every now and then. Well, anyway, we're provoking one another, helping one another. There's a devil down here. Thank God got brothers and sisters encourage and help you. Yeah. It says, verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for if we would judge ourselves, and that's what we need to do, mm-hmm. we should not be judged. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes. One day I was out there at work. I don't know why this lesson's going this direction.
Come on.
I was out there at work, and I hadn't been saved very long again. And this old press is a piece of junk. They should have done cut it up with a cutting torch and send it out the back door. But anyway, we're still trying to get something out of this old press 516. Chuck Barbie was working with me. Chuck Barbie, good brother in the Lord. I had all my men, Chuck's one of them, on my crew right there. And this press is not cooperating. And this pulley, this belt was dragging. It goes so far and stopped. They had like a little connector and it was hanging on that connector. I'm trying to get this pulley to tighten up so the belt would be tighter and it would keep turning instead of stopping, because when it did stop, the boots went like that. Anyway, it wasn't working. I hit it with a hammer and I took the Lord's name in vain when I hit it with that hammer. I mean, it just happened so fast. I didn't even realize it even happened until it done happen. But when I did again, my heart smote me. I dropped that hammer. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Help me never do that again. I'm expecting any minute to be horse-laughed. But all those men, they didn't laugh me. They had more respect for me from that day on. Mm-hmm. And what it was, Brother Ed, they saw something real.
Right.
Amen.
And, you know, people need to see something real. Me and Donnie's been talking about some people needing some help. He's trying to help a lady at work, and I'm trying to help a man in jail. And we're just trying to get something real to them. Well, anyway, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. Here's why I read all this. That we should not be condemned with the world. We're not going to be condemned.
Right.
I mean, I'll just tell you right now, you can either walk in the light or you can get in darkness. And I'm not talking about in hell. But you can be up there pretty quick. You won't be here very long if you don't continue to walk in the light, see in the light, do that which is right in the sight of God. If not, you know, I don't want to elaborate because it could be anything. Yeah. You might have a little lump show up. You might have a little cough won't go away. I'm just telling you, buddy. I'm going to praise Him in everything yeah. that I have opportunity. I'm going to praise Him. But it says, behold, therefore, we'll stop here at verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Now we're going to be preaching along these lines today. If you want to live a long life, most of us do. Well, it's easy to do. And we're going to preach about that a little bit here today. It's not hard. It's easy. Just love the Lord. Be a blessing. Quit being a burden.
Yeah.
Quit going that hard way. The way of transgressors is hard. Path of the just is shining light, shining more and more to the perfect day. But anyway, that's a pretty tough step. But I have to admit, even though I chase rabbits, I love that Sunday school lesson this morning. Praise God.
Amen.
That's quite a bit of enthusiasm for a Sunday school lesson. Amen. All right, we'll stop right there.
I'd just like to say that I'd like to ask the church to pray for me, because you spoke on something that I did yesterday that Sometimes enough is enough.
Yeah.
And it don't matter who's giving it to you.
Amen, Rita.
But my daughter has almost just literally drove me crazy.
Yeah.
And she put me through it again yesterday, and I just screamed, talking to my sister on the phone.
Yeah. We do that.
I said, I hate her.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just realized that I did not ask God for forgiveness.
Amen, Rita. Amen.
Yeah, that's what we got to do again.
Yeah, right.
It's true.
Yeah,
right. You know, we just, I told you, we make mistakes.
Son,
yeah.
I had to raise my hand and say, God, forgive me.
Amen. And you know what?
I felt like I had to.
The Bible said he's quick.
To healing myself.
He's quick to forgive.
Because she's about to drive me crazy.
Yeah. You know, they get on her last nerve. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I know exactly where you're coming from. We mess up. But a greater thing is not admitting when we mess up. So all we got to do is just say, Lord, I messed up again.
Yeah.
Lord, Peter came to Jesus one day and he said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? 7 times a day? And the Lord said, not 7 times. 7 times 70 a day. That's 490 times a day. We're going to learn how to forgive. The Bible says forgive as we've been forgiven. I've been completely forgiven. How can I have any ought against anyone? Well, I appreciate that, Rita. And that's exactly what we need to be mindful of.